The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey, friends, and welcome once again to my program, Afternoons with Mike. What a joy it is to have a couple of ladies here in the studio, and we're socially distanced, and it's kind of the way it is right now. But I've got Miss Florida, Michaela McLean, and her mom, Anne Marie McLean. I call her Annie. Do you go by Annie a lot?
Annie's great.
Annie's great. Okay, because that's what I've always called you. And they're here in the studio. It's just wonderful to have Michaela back, especially. Now, Annie was with us the last time as well, but she was watching. I made her get on microphone this time because she has a lot to share as well.
She does. And oh, my goodness.
Looking forward to talking about all of
Thanks for having us. Yeah.
When you were here the last time, that would have been last August, and you had not had the crown all that long of Miss Florida.
Yep.
You were anticipating the Miss America contest.
Yes. So this was my very first radio interview after I won the title of Miss Florida. And I was so just honored to be on air with you. And it's crazy now, a year, almost a year and a half later, I'm still Miss Florida due to the coronavirus. And it just feels so good, though, to be back and have another interview with you as well. So,
you know, when I was talking with you, it was hard to get my brain around the fact that you were Miss Florida 2019 or 2019,
yes,
however it's said, and you're still Miss Florida today, almost at the end of 2020, the year that all of us are just waiting for this year to get over.
Right. Yes, two more months. I'm counting down.
This is the year that will never end, it seems, but we're grateful that you're back. But the coronavirus delayed, I guess, was it because they didn't have a pageant? Is that why?
Yes. So usually the Miss Florida competition is in June. And so I was going to give up the title of Miss Florida 2019 and crown Miss Florida 2020 around June 25th or June 30th, I believe. And then, as we all know, the coronavirus hit the United States around March. And so there was talks of pushing the competition back to August or September. And I was like, okay, Lord, this is actually a cool opportunity. I might keep the job for one or two more months. And then I got the call saying that it's completely canceled for this year. And because I am the reigning state title holder, I either have the opportunity to continue the job of Miss Florida or completely give it up and resign. And so I didn't have peace with giving it up. And so I was just going to continue it for a few more weeks until I had a job come into my lap. And that hasn't happened quite yet. And so I might be Miss Florida for way longer than I expected.
You might be the first one that holds it every 2 years.
Yeah. I mean, we have this running joke between me and my friends. And actually, I'm a trivia question right now. Like, who's the longest reigning Miss Florida? And it would be Michaela McLean.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, we're celebrating 85 years of Miss Florida coming up next June in 2021. And so I guess that is kind of a cool fact I can share. I'm the longest reigning Miss Florida right now.
You might make the Guinness Book of World Records here. Who knows?
At this point, I might be so old, but yeah.
That's funny. That I never thought about that, but just every event in the world, it seems, did cancel or postpone, and some of them postponed, thinking that this fall it would be back and normal, and it's not.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. You know, that's what's happened to so many events. Like the Better Man event was a big event that was planned in May. They pushed it to November, and now it's going to be a virtual event this year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Even just think about the Summer Olympics. I mean, I was looking forward to that, and that's completely postponed. So I'm not surprised that the competition is delayed a whole year, but when everything affects you personally, you're like, wow, okay, we're doing this. Like, it's not happening, you know?
Yeah, Miss America was going to have their 100th anniversary. Mm-hmm. And when they canceled, when Miss America canceled the national competition that was to be in December, there was a ripple effect for all the state competitions. So that's actually what happened. And when they're saying Miss America is like 20...
next December in 2021.
Oh,
yeah.
So now you participated in the 2019 or 2019. How did they in your organization? Was it 2019 or 2019?
So I'm Miss Florida 2019 and I competed in Miss America 2020.
Yes.
So they crowned Miss America 2020. She's from Virginia. She's awesome. One of my really great friends. But they call me Miss Florida 2019 right now. And technically I'm 2020 as well since we're almost through this year.
So that event, the Miss America pageant that you took part in, was that in December of last year?
It was. Yes, sir. It was December 19th. So right before Christmas.
Yeah,
it was, in Connecticut.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. And they barely got that thing in before coronavirus came.
They did. Yeah. I mean, I talk to my mom all the time. I'm like, could you imagine if Miss America was even a few months later? I mean, so much preparation goes into it that if it was postponed any months later, I don't even think we would have been able to compete. So I'm thankful that that experience was when it was, and that I have just the job of Miss Florida to handle right now and not preparing for that, because it takes a lot of mind, body, and spirit preparation for that competition.
Well, I tell you what, baby boomers like myself, I grew up watching Burt Parks and everybody else that would be my age would be so familiar with the song that There She Is, Miss America.
Yes.
And this is something that I think is part of Americana, mm-hmm. especially for the older generations that would be my age. And there's no one, I bet, that doesn't remember that. What would that be like? Now I've got a real, true, honest, in the flesh participant in the Miss America. What's that like?
Oh, my gosh. I had such an interesting experience, even growing up and going to the Miss America competition. So the Lord gave me a lot of role models from an early age that became Miss Floridas. So I always looked up to them. I went to Miss America a few times and got to see just them on this football-sized stage with these lights. And just like you said, it was just like a slice of Americana. It was, you know, everything that Miss America should be. It was the beauty, the grace, the elegance. These young women were not only incredibly intelligent, but they just carried themselves with such poise and such grace. And I think from probably around the age of 15, I knew that that was a dream of mine, was to compete on the Miss America stage. And fast forward to 2019, when I became Miss Florida, the Miss America competition was in a strategic time of their history. They were going through a rebrand called Miss America 2.0, and they were coming off the heels of the Me Too movement. Mm-hmm. So they decided to get rid of the swimsuit competition, and they started to have new leadership, and they were making a lot of really big decisions on behalf of the organization that honestly changed the course of history. And so when they got rid of the swimsuit competition, they focused more on the intelligence of each competitor, on their social impact initiatives and what they're passionate about. And they really just revamped and rebranded the entire competition.
Did they keep talent? Was that part?
They did, okay. Which that is the most important part to me. I'm a dancer and have trained my whole life. So when they kept that part, I knew like, okay, this is still a Miss America experience I've always dreamed of doing. So meanwhile, I'm preparing for the competition, and last minute, I mean, a lot of aspects of the competition were changing. And so in the midst of all those changes, I just knew like, you know, my dream of still representing what I love and giving God the glory is not going to change. But a lot of things that I once knew Miss America was is not what it is anymore. And that was kind of really hard for me to swallow, since I had so many years of going to Atlantic City and seeing the competition as the traditional Miss America setup.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was just such an experience training for it. I honestly had the greatest experience with the Miss Florida program supporting me. I had several sponsors that I went to New York City and designed a dress, and I trained with my studio from home to perfect my dance, for it to be as perfect as possible on the Miss America stage. And then I went through intense interview training. So a lot of people don't realize how much of your life is dedicated just to preparing for the 7-day competition.
Now, I've heard that it's more like a lifelong process than it is just even something that you would spend a couple of months getting ready for. But would that be true for you? Were you in like the as a young girl, mm-hmm. some of the beauty pageants and different types of pageants, talent contests and things?
Absolutely. I think, honestly, oh gosh, 15 years of competitive dance really prepared and sharpened me to step on the Miss America stage. But I actually tell my mom all the time, I'm like, I think what prepared me the most for the Miss America competition was missions and going on mission trips, because it took me out of my comfort zone. It allowed me to experience a flexibility that a lot of girls can't naturally have. And then also it just showed me, you know, this is all fleeting. It really doesn't matter. Like, mm-hmm. you know, the outcome of the competition is something that like I want to be proud of. But at the end of the day, where is my value? Mm-hmm. You know, it's not in saying that I'm top 5 at Miss America or even winning this competition. It really is knowing and understanding who the Lord has created me to be and why I'm in this position as Miss Florida on the Miss America stage. So missions really spiritually prepared me for all those years leading up to it, which is really cool.
Now, I would not have expected you to say that, but that is so exciting to hear. There is something grounding about going on a missions trip that seems to do something that you don't expect. Now, that's happened every missions trip I've ever gone on. I remember us talking about this the last time you were with us, how that you find out what's real, what is really real. Mm-hmm. And Americans, we don't get it at times. We're so blessed, by and large, just to have food on our table, have regular meals. And I go back, probably the most meaningful thing I ever saw in my life, I took a trip to Cuba.
Wow.
And I've always dreamed of that island. I, as a young boy, growing up, watching all the things on television and having a heart for that country, and then getting to go on a missions trip, and a family there who was so blessed, they were so excited to have these 29 Americans come that they wanted to contribute something to our being there, and they said they were going to provide a pig for a big pig roast.
Oh, wow.
Well, we thought that's really wonderful. We thought that's so generous of them. And we all took part in going to, this is kind of crazy, but the slaughter of that pig. We get to the house. They lived in a home with dirt floors.
Right.
They had no doors on their house. There were no windows on their house. The separations of the walls were sheets that were hung.
Right.
And they had mats laid out to, as hallways. And the pig that they were donating to these Americans was going to be their food for the next who knows how long.
Wow.
And yet they were part of the church that insisted on doing this. And it was hard to take. It was hard to see. It was impossible for me to realize. I mean, it was like the widow's mite type of an experience right there. Because it just doesn't seem right. We're blessed beyond. I could not get my brain around that kind of sacrifice.
Right. Yeah, the sacrificial giving is just amazing when you go into these other countries and you see that they just pour out. They pour out from what they have. And we as Americans can't, we're never challenged actually to tap into. We're pouring out of, or we're giving out of our reserve.
Yeah,
It doesn't cost us much. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, part of that preparation for Michaela to be able to be exposed to people unlike herself and to understand what they valued and to see that in a lot of ways, the human experience is universal.
Yeah.
And in seeing like a mother's heart's a mother's heart, you know, we all experience sorrow. We all experience loss. We experience joy. But for her to see it in the purity of the simplicity in which some of these other people live and to come to appreciation, it kind of frames those bigger moments, say, in our American life and the things that we're chasing in a whole new light. And I think that it helped form her priorities.
Absolutely.
Well, let's tell you what, when you are grown up in that kind of a way and you see what true value is, you know, it's a maturity that I believe doesn't come by any other way.
It doesn't.
You can't be coached in that kind of stuff.
Absolutely.
You live it and it changes the fiber of your being. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened to you.
It did. And it was crazy preparing for Miss America in those final hours because so much goes into it, like I said earlier. And like, you know, I had sponsors on board. I had a whole Miss Florida board behind me. I had so much extra resources that were given to me. And yet, like, as I was praying, like, Lord, just make sure that as I step on stage, I'm still glorifying you. I'm still staying true to my core. I'm not going to be, you know, caught up in who people want me to be as their Miss Florida. I had to go back to those moments just out on the mission field in Guatemala and Honduras and Dominican Republic and just remind myself, like, you know, the Lord didn't create me to be always in the spotlight, pleasing people and performing and gaining their approval. But when I am, or if I am in those moments, staying true to who God has made me to be and going back to those moments of him speaking to me on the mission field, really just gave me that grounding and that core to just have that peace in those really nerve-wracking moments.
Oh, that is amazing. And how encouraging that is for anybody, because whether or not you're called to do what you've done as a representative of your peer group and your, I mean, we're all so proud of you. We were
Thank
keeping
you.
Up, you know, we We've attended years ago. We attended church together with That's the McLeans right. and love this family. Yeah. You were in our small group for a long time. And it's just seeing how we watched these girls. They were just lovely young ladies. And you guys have done such a great job with all your kids. Really, they're exemplary. Ben is such a dear, your husband, such a dear friend. And
he's the best.
He's a great guy. And he's comes from a family of citrus growers mm-hmm. in I guess that would be
Central Florida,
West Orlando area. And he just knows all sorts of stuff about things that I don't even know anything about. He's amazing.
So, but
to think about the fact that whether or not it's in a person's destiny to do what you've done, mm-hmm. what is in all of our destiny is to live our lives for the glory of God
Amen.
And to have his confidence, his knowledge in our core, the way you've done. Mm-hmm. And I think most people would honestly be so encouraged by you, Michaela, if they had a chance to talk. You know, there's an old saying that says a lot of people who are in media, they're a mile wide, but only an inch deep.
Mm-hmm.
And that saying is such a good expression because it looks like there's a lot of surface to look at, but you get to know the person and you realize there's a lot of shallowness there.
Absolutely.
To that person, because it's so often true. It's not true with you.
Oh, well, thank you. That means so much.
But so often it's true that a lot of people who are in that kind of position, they have really got there by striving. They've got mm-hmm. there by sometimes really pushing other people out of the way. And it's just like a me type of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not you. It's not you. So how do you answer those questions when people say, what makes you so different? How do you answer that?
That's a great question. I mean, I would really just go straight to my relationship with the Lord. And speaking out of recent experience, when the coronavirus hit, you know, everything that made my job as Miss Florida what it was completely stripped away and taken away. And I think in that moment of the Lord stripping away a lot of things that I just took my value in, I took my worth in, he just really showed me what matters the most. And so if anyone's listening to this, and I can just encourage them in that way, is start praying those dangerous prayers of saying, Lord, like, just show me who you want me to be. Not Miss Florida, not top 15 at Miss America, not a woman's advocate or a speaker. Like, yeah, those things are all great. But at the core of who I am, who do you want me to be? And raise me up and build me back up in your image and in your light.
Mm.
And so when a lot of people say, like, what makes you different? I think it's just that, like, the Lord can put me in these positions, and yet I have had that life experience on the mission field. And shout out to my incredible parents for, you know, just showing me at an early age that no matter the title, no matter the status, no matter the position the Lord can place me in, all of that really in light of eternity doesn't mean anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so going back to just who God has created me to be and just living in his image and in his light is something that I feel like could make me just stand apart. But yeah, I mean, just back in March when all those things were taken away, I felt like I faced a lot of discouragements and a lot of disappointments. The Lord really, really revealed, like, wow, none of those things really matter. Like, they're really great. But, you know, it's really just walking intimately with him that means the most at the end of the day.
It does. And I tell you what, you're doing a good job of walking that out. And if there was ever a person that I'm so happy that they've had an extended run, I'm glad it was you.
Well, thank you.
I'm talking to Michaela McLean and Anne Marie, her mother. We're going to be back with them in a moment. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike right here on The Shepherd. So excited to have as my guest today, Anne Marie McLean, the mother of Miss Florida, Michaela.
Hello.
Both of them are in our studios. And that first segment was, it blew by. It was so much fun. And I'm thinking to myself, this is not what a lot of people would think an interview with a pageant winner would be. Because I'll guarantee you that you would be in a percentile that would be very rare to have the kind of insight, the kind of maturity, the kind of heart, especially as believers, the kind of love for the Lord
mm-hmm.
and the kind of life experience that's taken you. Not only it's taken you to where you are, but now that you're there, and that's the beautiful thing about what's happened, the fact that you are still here,
mm-hmm.
the coronavirus hits, your reign as Miss Florida continues longer than this past June and may continue all the way to the next pageant sometime
right.
in 2021. During the break, we were talking about something that I want to toss to either one of you. We are seeing, we're living in a time where there is an unquestioned, unparalleled amount of pressure on people, especially people in the public square, be it entertainers, be they people like yourself, people who are in politics, a pressure to go left, to go out away from conservative values, to go away from conservative thought, and maybe even completely distanced from what would be old-fashioned values that would be biblical.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And as believers, yet we're called to be in this world, but not of this world.
Mm-hmm.
And in my mind, Michaela, you're a prime, wonderful example of that very thing. You have not only been in the world, but God's blessed you, mm-hmm. and you've been at the front and center of a lot of really amazing things.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure you're getting a lot of opportunities thrown at you
mm-hmm.
that you feel that pressure to push you that way.
Absolutely. And it goes back even just winning the Miss Florida competition. We have an onstage question portion where we have to give an insightful answer on highly controversial topics. And from early part of the competition, I knew the judges found out through my answers and simply just who I am, that I am a conservative Christian. And when they found out about that, you know, immediately they want to challenge it, of course, and say, well, why do you believe that?
Mm-hmm.
And have you ever even thought about this other side? And so in that, I really had to dig deeper and ask the Lord, like, well, Lord, like, why actually do I believe this? And I've seen that, like, in standing for the truth, we have to be so in tune with the Holy Spirit. And we can't just say, like, well, I believe this way. I think, like, as believers, and especially as someone in the Miss America organization who is a Christian conservative, I've realized how important it is for me to just say, God, like, I need wisdom from you. I need discernment from you, because I do believe this way, but I get challenged a lot and I get backlash for why I believe this way,
mm-hmm.
because it doesn't fit their liberal agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I ask the Lord for that, like, I do have a peace that, no, this is the truth with a capital T. This isn't just something that I'm making up, and it's following biblical principles. But yeah, I mean, it's crazy that when people understand why you believe something that is so against the mainstream media, they are going to come at you, and you have to realize that, like, you got to put on the armor of God. I mean, even just this past weekend, I was getting backlash for being at a conservative event that supports family and marriage and,
mm-hmm.
you know, following the Lord. And so it's definitely not easy being in the job of Miss Florida, because no matter what side you take a stand on, you're going to have people come against you.
You have to wonder at times, what happened to this country when a person could be criticized,
mm-hmm.
a person like you could be criticized for standing for something that is good and honorable and family oriented.
Right.
You know, we hear about Walt Disney here in Orlando. We obviously impacted by the whole Disney genre. And, you know, you've got to wonder what Walt would be thinking today when he stood for family values to a great degree
mm-hmm.
in the early years. That's what it was. And it was celebrated.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now it's almost like if you stand for traditional family values, you're some sort of bad thing. You need to stay away from it. You need to be questioned on it.
Right.
It's just nuts.
They're moving the goalpost kind of thing. They're moving out the definitions of what's loving. So what we're finding is that we have many dear friends, that do not believe like we believe. And if you were to take us and put us in a dinner situation, we're able to enjoy their company. We're able to call them friend. But when you take that friendship, the fact that we believe differently outside of that dinner table, and you put it onto social media and you draw up sides, it's as if what we believe now is perceived as not loving. And that's not the truth.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the truth. Because if I say that something that I believe would be harmful to you in the end, if I condoned it, then that's not loving of me to just go along with whatever the prevailing sentiment of the day is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I think that our nation is in a very deep battle. It's in legal battles in the Supreme Court, but it's also in spiritual battles of what are we defining as truth?
You know, we're living in a time, it's now we're post-postmodern, we're after that, but there's something about this whole thing that you're describing. I studied years ago this book called Postmodern Times, and it was an incredible book. And I was having a discussion with a theologian about it, and it was really fun to pick this guy's brain and asking him questions about why is this so different now? Why is this so apparent? And he gave me, I'll never forget, he gave me an explanation that when you, a person like you guys who are there and you're part of a family that has been celebrated in the word of a traditional a person who is a celebrity, and Michaela, that is you, and you've had to don that whether you like it or not. I'm sure there are plenty of times that you would have preferred not to have to be on cue all the time, but you've been put into that position. And he said people that are on the other side, who look at people who are doing well but yet believe something differently than they believe and hold on to the values that they are avidly rejecting, it's no longer then you just have a different view than they. Here's what happens. You become a threat to them.
Wow.
And that's exactly what you are to this culture that we live in right now. There's a lot of people who would say that to do what you've been able to do, you would have to sell out your soul.
Right.
You would have to buy in to all of the stuff that is there. And I just thank God you haven't done that.
Oh my gosh. And I actually have a story about that too. So when it was the final night of Miss America, we're live on NBC, the cameras are in our face, and I have like a whole group fan club of friends and family up in the stands that came from Florida to Connecticut. And I was so nervous. I'm like, Lord, like if I make top seven right now, I just made top 15. If I make top seven right now, I'm going to have to answer a highly controversial question on national television in front of millions of Americans. And I don't think I can fit their agenda. And I'm someone that isn't going to compromise in order just to get the approval of America right now. Like, I'm going to say what I believe. And, you know, like the judges are from Hollywood and, you know, very biased. And that's totally okay. I just knew that I wasn't going to give the answer that they wanted to hear. And so immediately they called number seven. And I believe it was Miss Colorado. And it wasn't me. And it was like the Lord so clearly spoke to me protection. And I like so clearly heard it. I had to tell the girls around me that made the top 15, but didn't make the top seven. And some of them were conservative Christians as well. And I was like, you have no idea how protected we are right now.
Mm-hmm.
And in that moment, I would have still like stood for truth and would have said it given the opportunity if I made top seven. But there's some times where it's just like, I wasn't supposed to say that night.
Mm-hmm.
And I was supposed to still stand for truth, but say that behind the scenes and not on a microphone to the other girls. But I say all of those things because it's clear, it's very crazy how the Lord can clearly protect us in showing us that there is a time to be outspoken about it. And then there is a time to, you know, be able to share it privately with other people.
Well, our country right now is getting geared up for that very type of thing again. When with the justice that's been nominated, without a doubt, is going to be facing what could potentially be some of the most difficult times, and hear some of the most difficult things spoken to her. And we all saw what happened nationally, so it's out there. What happened to Judge Kavanaugh during those justice hearings should never have happened in this country, and yet we have to all admit this is who we are right now.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the
Lord's been speaking to me about the word trigger. And I really do think that is a tactic of the enemy right now, especially as it relates to Christians, that the enemy is trying to get us triggered. And we must identify those vulnerabilities of what are our triggers. That I feel like that there needs to be a self-awareness as Christians as to the tactics of the enemy. That's not self-centeredness, that's wisdom. And so to pull away from situations where we could be triggered and not bring glory to the name of Jesus Christ. I think that the thing to defeat the enemy is to operate both in truth and in love. And so many times I think that the enemy wants to get us out of that place of love. And when we feel ourselves and our flesh rising up to fight fire with fire, I think we need to actually pull back and get back into the presence of God. Mm. Because it's us being in the presence of God and understanding the grace that he's poured upon us, understanding the compassion he's poured upon us and the love he's poured upon us, out of that place, when we minister and we just are, I think that that's what we're supposed to be. We're just supposed to be, because we've been with Jesus. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's him through us, and it's his strength through us, his power. It's not us. So when we feel ourselves strung out in our own strength and we feel ourselves reacting and getting triggered, I think that's the place where we need to pull away and get back into the quiet place.
That's some preaching going on. Sorry. Right now. I think we need to take an offering right now.
Yes. But that's it. I'm preaching to myself.
That's Anne Marie McLean right there, friends. Yeah. And that was some excellent thoughts going on. And you know, when you're saying that, and I'm remembering the Bible verse that I grew up hearing this way, where there is no vision, my people perish. But then I believe it was the NIV, I think, that had it listed differently, interpreted differently, and to me, infinitely more powerful, where there is a lack of revelation, people cast off restraint.
Right.
So if we don't see the things that are really meaningful, if we don't see the things that hold true value, mm-hmm. then, you know, when we don't see it, we just throw off any reason that to restrain us. And that's what you're talking about, Michaela. You were talking about really a process in which God is showing you how to restrain your own heart, how to restrain what you're talking about, Anne, with not being triggered into something, a response, and not getting drawn in. It is impossible, I think, in our own selves to not do that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why it's so prevalent. People are just throwing out all caution to the wind.
Right.
When we need to be in the presence of the Lord, we need to have and do what David did, those times of seeking the Lord and inquiring of him. That's what the Bible said. And when he didn't do that, things didn't turn out so well.
You know, yeah, that's so true. And just, you know, a topic that Michaela and I have been discussing in private is just the need for discernment right now, is to be able to discern, where's this coming from? What's it trying to elicit from me? And then where could that take me down the road? I am sharing less on Facebook and social media right now than I did even 6 months ago, if I don't really know the source. And that's and because I have four girls, she's the oldest of four, and they range from 23 to 15. You know, I'm trying to teach them, consider the source. And so to be tethered to the source of ultimate truth, which is the word of God, is of utmost importance to me as a mom right now, to just download as much of that as I can into my girls.
That's so good.
Right.
It is the word that keeps us straight and on the straight and narrow. Mm-hmm. And if it's not for that, then we're going to become guilty, like what the Bible says, every man does right in his own eyes, whatever seems right. And boy, that's...
Don't we see that today?
Oh, yeah. I think we do. I think you're right. Yes. I think that is exactly the prevalent description about what's going on in our country. And I thank God for being tethered to the word.
Yeah.
Now, you guys are also, I could say survivors. I think survivor, you survived that kind of pressure nationally, and I'm grateful that you did. And you're still representing us so well. Thank you for that.
Oh, thank you.
But you're also a survivor of this very thing that's delayed the new Miss Florida contest, and that is the coronavirus. Yes. You had COVID-19.
I did. So I tested positive not once, but actually three times as I was trying to get over it back in June. So it was when kind of that first wave was hitting Florida. I believe like the whole nation shut down in March, but it really didn't hit my community, at least in Claremont, until June or July, in the middle of summer. So I was one of the first people to come out of my friend group. And then from there, more and more people were testing positive for it as well. But I did come down with it, as well as a few of my family members. It was quite the experience too.
What was it like for you? What I know, I've heard that it affects different people different ways, and some people have more mild symptoms. Others are in the ICU.
Mm-hmm. And my thoughts and prayers really do go out for those that have really struggled with it, because even though my symptoms were kind of mild, a little
Moderate.
Yeah, moderate, I would say. I couldn't imagine like actually really struggling with it because there was this feeling in my body where I'm like, I don't know. You know, I've gotten a cold before. I've been run down. I've been super exhausted after a hard weekend, but this feels different. And I did struggle with symptoms like shortness of breath. And actually the fatigue was the symptom that kicked me the hardest. But I think at the end of the day, I was like, this definitely just feels different. And that's when I knew I need to go get tested for the coronavirus. Mm-hmm. And so I did get tested and I had a rapid test from actually the emergency room. And sure enough, it came back positive. And the week after that, I was supposed to be speaking at our Miss Florida summer orientation where I was going to meet local competitors all across the state. And so we had to immediately cancel it. And that's when I knew I needed to kind of publicly come out with the fact that I tested positive.
And you know, you're one of those people that when you get news like that, it's not just told to friends and family. It's in the news headlines.
It was, yes. And so,
they didn't let me go back when she got tested because everything is in precaution. So she is sitting in the testing room by herself. And
I know I was by myself and I'm like, okay, this is a little weird. I'm getting a nose swab. And, you know, I'm like telling my mom like, sure, yeah, you know, actually I do have the global pandemic in my system right now. And it was a little scary and I can see why people are frightened about it. But through all of it, I just did have the mindset of like, I'm going to be okay. Mm-hmm. And that was what I was like really clinging on to was, you know, I am sick. I am symptomatic. But I know that I'm going to get through it. So sure enough, I felt like I had a story through all of it. And Fox 35, News 6, a lot of different local news channels did pick it up. But I was able to just share with people my age, especially in their 20s, to take it seriously and try and protect those that, you know, are immunocompromised or the elderly that could have more of a struggling mm-hmm. time with it.
So. Front to back, how long do you think the symptoms lasted for you?
I would say I did struggle a little longer than my other family members. So I would say around like 8 to 9 days, actually. The fatigue was what lasted the longest. And the shortness of breath was really strange. It only came in like splurts, like one day here, 24 hours here, 2 hours here. So it was really like
random.
It was so random. But thankfully, that part went by really quick, and then I lost my taste and smell for a day, and then it came back.
Oh, that is such a weird part of this whole virus. I can't even imagine.
Weird. Oh my gosh. My sister, she actually tried to see if she lost her taste and smell by putting sriracha on the tip of her tongue and couldn't taste it.
Oh.
And that's when she knew. She's like, I think I have COVID as well. So she got tested, but yeah.
I don't think I'd want to do that.
No, don't recommend that at home.
So after 2 weeks, though, you feel like most of those symptoms mm-hmm. left and there's no residual.
Right. So for the most part, the fatigue kind of wiped me out for a few weeks because it hit my endurance. And so I had to take it really slow and just going on small walks afterwards. And then finally, I'm back to running again and dancing and doing all the active mm-hmm. activities that I love. But my mom can attest to it. I was definitely exhausted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she had an exhaustion that was not, it was unprecedented for her little life. So my other girls, I had to pull my second born off of a shift where she was a server because she was fine. Mm-hmm. Except she had lost taste and smell. So we pulled her into the ER and then she tested positive. The third one almost didn't have any symptoms at all, tested positive. And then my fourth born, my youngest, went with me. We both tested negative and then she wound up like second most wiped out. So
even though
fatigue,
she tested negative,
and I tested negative.
Uh-huh.
And then Ben didn't test and never got sick. Mm-hmm. Crazy. It was crazy.
Yeah.
We might have like.
It's that Florida sunshine, vitamin D.
Yeah, right. I told you he's an organic farmer and is all about nutrient dense. And he's like, listen, there needs to be a boost your immunity message through all of this. He's passionate about that.
Which some would say is not happening with all of the sequestering and being quarantined away from everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
Our immune system's not being strengthened.
Right. Yeah.
So we'll see how that all works out.
So.
Oh my goodness. We're going to be back with our guest today. This is Michaela McLean and Anne-Marie McLean. And Michaela is Miss Florida 2019 and still reigning due to the coronavirus. We'll be back in a moment. This is Afternoons with Mike right here on The Shepherd. In the studio with me today on our program is Miss Florida 2019, Michaela McLean, and Anne-Marie McLean. Annie and Ben have been friends for many, many years to Cindy and me. We love this family. You have four girls. They're all talented. You guys are a beautiful family. I know, obviously, it goes without saying that your daughter made the premier beauty contest, what used to be called a beauty contest, Miss America, and you were on that pageant. So proud of the way you guys have gotten there. So proud of the way, Michaela, you represented the Lord while you were
there.
And now seeing and being one of the throng of family and friends, not family, but for us, being friends with you guys, cheering from you from afar. We are praying for you during that time. And it's just so exciting to see how God is using this in the future. You're past now that, you know, the big event that a lot of people, when they become Miss Florida and they're going to be aimed at that big pageant, now it's over.
It's over.
Now, one of the things that you stood for, even in this, and I know that it's typical for many years, but it was more so, more of a part to play in this most recent pageant, and that was the passion or the organization or the, in some cases, it's a charity or whatever that the person stands for. You stood for Brave and Beautiful.
Yes.
And that's an organization that I believe you guys came up with, right?
It is. Yeah. We co-founded it together, and I knew that going into the Miss America competition, I wanted to stand for something that I, not that I was just passionate about, but it was my life goal and it was my life passion. You know, it wasn't just something I was going to put into play just to say, oh, look, Miss America, I've done this. But Brave and Beautiful is really the anthem of my life. I feel like that I'm going to be passionate about for the rest of my life. So.
Now, tell us a little bit about how it started, this group, and maybe even the whys, because obviously, I mean, I know you've been told you have beauty about you that is apparent, and it's clear that a lot of young girls dream, and they spend their entire life dreaming about what you got to do. So God has put you in a place to where you're not only maybe have a vision for that, but you actually lived it.
Yeah. So I started Brave and Beautiful with my mom, I would say
the mission field
4 or 5 years ago, which is crazy. It's already been that long. But we went to Nairobi, Kenya, and the pastor actually invited a small group of us girls, including my mom and my two best friends, to come speak and share a message about identity and self-worth in the Lord. And so we really branded it Brave and Beautiful then, not knowing that it was going to be completely taken to the Miss America stage years later. But we wanted to just really bring a message of empowering and equipping young women in who they were created through Christ. And so I knew from early stages that this was something I would love to take in more of a secular setting like the Miss America competition. And so as Brave and Beautiful and the messages developed, I saw that there was such a need to go straight to the heart of what young women are struggling with today, and that is with social media. And so Brave and Beautiful has really taken a lot of their messages in the social media realm, and just equipping young women on how can we deal with comparison on Instagram? How can we know our worth when we're bombarded with so many media messages about these images of perfection and what women should look like, but in reality we don't, and how we should act? And so my mom and I have created a podcast together called the Be Brave and Beautiful podcast, where we're now just discussing just really these topics that are culturally relevant, but what so many young women are facing to or with behind a screen. And so one of our messages is called Anchoring Your Self-Image in a Sea of Social Media. Another one is called Cut the Comparison. And so many of them are just going straight to the fact that we live in this TikTok, Instagram world, and we want to get followers. We want to get a blue check mark next to our name. And it really is going against trying to spend all that time scrolling through social media compared to literally diving into the word and speaking the truth over our lives of what God says about us.
You know, I can only imagine that there are some people that would look at you and they'd say, yeah, it's easy for you to say.
Right.
Because you've been blessed with beauty. And you've not had to prove that. to those that are feeling, what do you say to those who really see themselves wrongly? Because we're living in a time where this identity politics,
right.
identity issue, yeah. social media, everyone feels, now I'm not saying everyone, but a lot of people right. feel that you have to have these certain standards, you have to look a certain way, mm-hmm. you have to be a certain group with a group.
Right.
And that's not true.
No, it's not true. And I think that's why our messages, they are just so like hard hitting and go straight to like the fact that, you know, it's kind of all, I think, a misperception of like what you see is not reality. You know, people would say, oh, you probably don't struggle, like you're Miss Florida. And immediately when I became Miss Florida, I actually struggled the most because I was now comparing myself to world changer girls who are so high up in the area of politics and entertainment and media and are just go-getters in every phase of their life. And immediately I felt worthless. And I felt like, gosh, like, yes, I miss Florida, but now I just don't feel like I even compare to these girls that just have it going on all aspects of their life. And I fell into this pit on social media of trying to just gain approval from everyone. And
so it happened to you too?
Oh, it's happened yeah. to me for years. And now being the oldest of four girls and seeing it in my younger sisters, it's just been, I think, even more sensitive. I've been more sensitive to it just because I see that now it's starting at a younger and younger age. And
but
it's upsetting.
I think that's so refreshing to hear that that happened to you because, mm-hmm. you know, we were talking earlier about how people perceive even their voices when they hear their voice.
Right.
They think they don't sound a certain way. And right. then they hear a recording of themselves and they go, I don't sound like that, do I?
Right.
And we say, yeah, that's exactly how you sound. But for when you talk about when a person's image, mm. their self-image is right. now becoming so important to them that they hate themselves because mm-hmm. of the way they perceive they look, this yeah. becomes very dangerous.
Very dangerous. And it's an identity issue. And I think that's the part that makes it one of the most important things that we have to go like head on with these girls is like, you can't mess around with God's identity over your life. And mm-hmm. as soon as you do, it's affecting every aspect. You're spirituality, your mentality, your physical image. And so there's so much that we can dive into this just identity issue that's mm-hmm. affecting my generation.
What do you feel would be the biggest problem? We've already talked about social media. Is mm-hmm. there a component or a thing they do on social media that would be maybe the most destructive?
Mm. Oh,
that's a
good I think it's the addictive nature. Mm-hmm. And if anybody's listened or watched The Social Dilemma that is on Netflix. I know a lot of people have canceled their Netflix due to cuties, but if you haven't and you get on and you can watch the documentary called The Social Dilemma, it's literally talking about the engineers of behind the scenes mm. who've constructed. These are ex-employees of Pinterest and YouTube and Facebook and Instagram, and them actually testifying and saying, no, we keep our own kids off of it.
Yeah.
And we set limits because we've realized now that the dopamine hits that people get from the validation through the comments and the likes become addictive. Mm-hmm. And
like
so
even just an alert when you get
yeah.
a comment, ding, that's a dopamine rush.
Yeah. You can't not pick it up.
Yeah.
And so I, with being the mom of four girls, it's hard for me, for all of us to set those boundaries to say that you are not your social media profile, nor should you be obsessed with it,
mm-hmm.
nor do you need that. So what I think is happening is through these addictions to our screens and our phones and what we're getting something from it that's feeding us. So if that message turns against us and it's a negative message, or you don't get the likes. So for example, if you have an expectation, I'm going to get 500 likes on this post, I think it's really good, and you only get 300, then that's now negatively feeding mm-hmm. what you might think about yourself.
You know, I think I've felt that before. There have yeah. been things I've posted on
oh, yeah.
about even our program and wanting people to really get it. And then I read it. And if it doesn't have the amount of likes or comments, I'm thinking, oh, and it's so easy to do exactly what you were talking about, Michaela, where you start that introspective look and it's never a positive, like, oh, it rarely goes toward faith.
Right.
It usually goes toward negatives.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happens to these kids. Do you see a day that, do you think we can survive the screen? Do you think it's possible?
Wow, good question.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to take a lot of like education first. And that's why I think no one's really talking about this. It's just something that we're all hiding behind a screen with. And I think so many people were affected by the social dilemma on Netflix, because for once, there's now statistics, there's studies coming out, scientific studies saying like, we are the first generation to have this for the rest of our lives. Like, yeah. I don't even want to know where our mental state when I'm 50 years old is going to be at, considering that like I'm now dealing with this at the age of 23 and my sister's dealing with this at the age of 15. You know, we are that guinea pig generation that is now having social media throughout our entire lives. Mm-hmm. And so I hope there is a day where we can realize like, I have to have a healthy relationship with this. And so we have a talk with Brave and Beautiful called Overcoming the Image Trap. And we lay out 5 key points that hopefully can really empower and help not just women, but people all over the world, and to have that healthy relationship with the screen.
Oh, my goodness, because it's with us. And it's so odd, isn't it, how something can be such a blessing on one hand, mm-hmm. where you can FaceTime with somebody across the world,
right.
on the other side of the world, and yet that very thing become the addictive trap, mm-hmm. that people just can't put down.
That's
people
right.
can't judge them, stop judging themselves by likes and all. Oh, my goodness. Well, God, our time is gone. Thank you so much for being with us here today. And give
Thank
us the
you.
Web address
yeah.
for people that can find out more about either Brave and Beautiful or
yeah.
to keep up with you, what's
okay.
going on in your life.
Absolutely. Well, so much of my job is on Instagram, so I have a few. You can follow my Miss Florida journey at Miss America FL on Instagram, or you can follow my personal at Michaela McLean. It's spelled Michael with an A and then McLean. Or you can follow our ministry, Be Brave and Beautiful, at Be Brave and Beautiful.
Well, both of you guys are just a blessing to us.
Thank you.
I feel
thank
like
you so
brought
much.
A really important word to us. Both Aww. Of you have.
Well, thank Amen. You so much for having us. Yes. It blesses us.
Yes, thank you so much.
And friends, thank you for being with us today here on Afternoons with Mike. We'll catch you next time all across the Shepherd Radio Network.